Welcome to the Space Show, Andrew.
Thank you for having me.
What is space science?
Space science is a very broad area. Takes in all the sciences, from biology, astronomy, geology, simply in space, trying to work out how things operate in that different environment to how we are on Earth.
And to what extent does Australia's satellite utilisation policy cover space science research or applications?
Well, the satellite utilisation policy in itself is not really a space policy at all. It doesn't really have any ambition or strategy to it. So when you're talking about looking at space science or research, that's not really covered there. All they're really talking about is maintaining Australia's continued access to space, which is a fairly narrow thing to be thinking about.
Now, are there any other government policies then that would cover space science?
There are, but what we really need is a policy that specifically deals with space. I mean, a serious Western country operating in the 21st century needs to have a space policy that talks strategically about how we exploit space, have assets in space to exploit those assets for Australia's benefit. And none of that is covered in any government policy.
Now, when we think of scientific research, we tend to think of CSIRO and, of course, the universities. Do the universities do any space science?
There are a number of universities who are doing things which are useful in space. We're looking at sensors that you can fly on space platforms, and so are a number of the other universities, hyperspectral sensors. A number of the universities are looking at thrusters, both very large ones and very small ones, to fit into that whole space 2.0. So there's a bit going on. It could be better coordinated, and again, that's where a space policy might help.
Are the universities able to do space science independent of government policy?
Well, that's how it's working at the moment, because the government has no policy. So what we are doing, and I think it's not just the universities, I think the whole space ecosystem in Australia, which is the universities, the startup companies, the large companies, the Space Industry Association, what we're looking to try and do is to get a momentum going such that the government is obliged to respond in a proactive way.
And could the government inject funds into the universities and perhaps attach strings to them to direct it towards space science in particular?
That's entirely possible. One of the problems that we've always had in convincing the government to participate in space activities is they see a lot of dollar signs. So I think going in with your hand out looking for money isn't the best way to do it. And in fact, I've been advocating for a number of years now that our best way forward in terms of an agency would be to follow the model that they had in the UK, where they gathered all the space activity that was happening in government already, put it in one place. They realised, only at that stage, they realised how important it was and start spending money on it. But initially, they spent none. And they went through that phase where they thought, yes, this is important, let's do something about it.
So if you were drafting some sort of policy for the government, what policies would you like the government to set?
Well, I think there are particular areas where we probably want to avoid, at least at this point. I think human space flight and that sort of thing is not the sort of thing that the Australian government would go for, especially with the historical hesitance to go for an agency. Even some of the more esoteric space science, we probably need to be thinking of leaving that till the future. I think what we need to be talking about right now is how you can use assets in space to boost the Australian economy. And that's when the fact that Australia has 1/6 of the world's surface to look after, we have the second lowest population density after Namibia. Space makes more sense for Australia than for any other country in the world. And why we're in the situation we're in doesn't just baffle me, it baffles a lot of people.
And what are the strengths that Australia has in space science?
Well, this is a little bit of a confusing area because traditionally government funding and the way people think about space quite often conflates space and astronomy. Now, astronomy is not space, and so the strength that Australia has in astronomy is a great thing, but it doesn't necessarily help us here. There's also the difference between upstream and downstream space, and Australia's always been very strong at processing data that comes from space platforms, and we're world leaders in many of those areas. But where we're needing to really start participating more proactively is in the upstream, where we actually put assets in space, build satellites, launch satellites for our own problems.
And others to generate our own data.
Absolutely. We can't be a freeloader forever, and foreign governments and the way their economies are running won't allow us to follow that route for much longer, I don't think. So it's time that we started generating our own data. And, you know, like I say, we've already got the people to process it, so let's work out what we need rather than just take for free what other people are willing to give us. Let's decide what we want and let's go and get it.
Are there any needs that you can see now? So what opportunities are open to us?
Well, there are many, but I mean, I could talk about a project that I was involved with under the Australian Space Research Program. We took to Phase Zero, which is relatively early stage, a design for a synthetic aperture radar satellite. And what that satellite, well, it was two satellites, it was a pair. And what they would do is map Australia to 10-metre resolution every 3 days for soil moisture, the amount of moisture that's in the top 5 centimetres of the soil. Now, that's an enormous amount of data and certainly something we would never get for free from anyone else. Now, if you're mapping the entire country at that spatial and temporal resolution, you can do all sorts of things. And that would have been a very expensive mission in one sense, in that the dollar value of it might have been around $800 million. But that's only one way of thinking of it. Given that it would be assisting an industry like non-irrigated agriculture, which is worth $50 billion a year, if that satellite was able to improve the efficiency of that sector by only 0.3%, the satellite pays for itself. So you need to be thinking about satellites like that in terms of infrastructure and what they can do for the economy.
Your area of expertise, of course, is in the engineering side. Is Australian engineering up to the task of developing the necessary instrumentation and satellites?
Yeah, there's no question the quality of Australian engineers is world-class. You go around to any of the international space agencies around the world and they will have Australians in senior positions, and young Australians have gone over there as well, simply because we didn't have an industry to support them here. So, yeah, there's no question that we would be able to do it. We've got the people, and even if we don't have them sitting in Australia now, there's plenty of Australians around the world who'd love to come back and build this industry.
And why should the public care about space science?
Well, one example that I give is I work in the area of satellite navigation, so GPS, and they did a study a few years ago in the US that looked at all the critical infrastructure sectors of the economy. So 18 different sectors, 15 of those relied on GPS timing, the other three relied on GPS positioning. So the entire economy sits on top of GPS. So that's just satellite navigation. The same sort of thing is true for communications and for the remote sensing applications you have for space. It's so important. Our everyday life would not continue if we didn't continue to have good service from space assets.
Well, thanks, Andrew, for joining us on the Space Show.
Thanks for having me.